Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ray and Kay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, tall Rayside, sitting in the snow.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, sitting in kind of partly cloudy Scottsdale, Arizona, basically the home of Super Bowl 49. Everybody's in town. The Phoenix Open's in town. It is wild and crazy. Hope to try to bring you some of the events and stuff and see if we can grab some interviews. If not, just give you some insight to what's going on. And you know what? Give us a call. It was start of Super Bowl week. We're talking about a little bit of everything today, so chime on in. 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails. Obviously, we're getting some Super Bowl picks coming in to rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. It's looking kind of balanced so far. I don't think anybody likes either one of these teams unless you're in New England or Seattle, but they sure do respect them. And also check out rayandtaytoday.com. We got great interviews with Wesley Walker, George Reister, former NFL players, Charles Davis. We got a little bit of everything for all types of fans, even Seth Davis. College hoops is heating up, and we'll be talking about it. So check out rayandtaytoday.com, YouTube us, tweet at us, Facebook us, Ray. We got a little bit of everything. I want to ask you, they got sort of breaking news. Fox Sports said that looks like a locker room attendant might be someone they're narrowing their search on. Obviously, this happened while the Patriots were flying across the country. They left before the snowstorm. They've landed in Arizona, Sky Harbor, and Phoenix. I don't know. I kind of said that on our last episode that there might be a fall guy. What are your thoughts? Obviously, we had statements from Belichick over the weekend.
You know this is going to happen. This is like a bad movie. You know the script.
Yeah.
Some dude is going to take the fall, and his kid's college will be paid for, and Belichick and Brady will claim that they're Bill Nye, the science guy, and that this couldn't have happened. But then they'll say, oh, but there was some manual intervention here, and then what will happen is the NFL
will
do something.
Did you like the pop culture reference? Did you like the Mona Lisa Vito reference?
Yeah,
with Marissa,
I like
Tomei?
That.
Bill Belichick.
I like that.
He put a faces with that one. He made Twitter go crazy.
That's
right.
Actually pretty funny. But like we said, the Patriots have to be punished somehow. And they'll be punished probably with a draft pick. But you know what? If they win a Super Bowl or if they even go to the Super Bowl, it's all worth it. It's not going to matter. And Bob Kraft is one of those popular owners, popular with Roger Goodell, popular with other owners. He helped bridge the gap when they had his wife unfortunately passed away, and he helped bridge the gap with the labor dispute a couple years ago. So
right. They'll
get a slap on the wrist. The fall guy makes everybody gracefully exit. It's absolutely ridiculous that there's an investigation going on and they didn't speak to Tom Brady. The single person who benefits most from this has not been contacted by the NFL. Now, they'll claim that they didn't want to disturb the Super Bowl and the rhythm and the preparation and all that. But, you know, all it means is that the Patriots will get a slap on the wrist and everybody will move on. And they'll once again, get into gray area and gracefully back out, this time either with a Super Bowl loss or with a Super Bowl victory.
You know what will make me happy, honestly, at the end of the day? Sunday at 6:30 when it kicks off, watching the commercials, you're just watching the two best teams, which your boy Tay predicted to be in the Super Bowl, and they just line up. I think one of the best things that I've heard all morning is the guy from ESPN, Colin Cowherd, was talking about how many great players are in this game. And I think we've gotten away, and we'll talk a little bit of, obviously Friday is the preview, but talk a little bit about the game a little bit today. But I just think that that's something that we got to start to focus on, because all this other stuff, you can't control it. Whatever happened, happened. And what's going to happen, how it gets dealt with, is going to happen. And it will make you, you know, feel sour. So let's talk about off-the-field stuff. We got to bounce around with a bunch of sports. And first I want to hit you with the NBA, with the Kobe. The season's done. He's going to have rotator cuff surgery. It probably won't be the end. But in a, your heart of hearts, would you be okay if this was the end? Or do you feel, not greedy, but do you feel like you want to see, because he's so great, you want to see him go out just a little bit better? Not like the Lakers will be amazing next year, but do you want it to end a little bit differently from a left-handed floater in New Orleans when he couldn't use his right hand?
I actually like that. The fact that, I mean, not that he got hurt, obviously, but the fact that the guy improvised shooting lefty and making his shot. I mean, don't you think that's basically Kobe? Instead of instead of leaving the court with a torn rotator cuff, he plays through it and finds a way to make a lefty jumper. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Look, Kobe has nothing more to prove. He's a generational player. He is one of the top, you know, handful of players, maybe two handful of players
top,
in the NBA.
Top 10 all time.
Yeah, five-time champion. And you know what? He won those three with Shaq, but then he won two without him. So this guy is absolutely the real deal, and he has nothing else to prove. So here's the best-case scenario. He comes back. They get Julius Randle back. They get a top five draft pick back. And they go and make the seventh or eighth seed in the playoffs. Maybe they win a game or two. Maybe they even
Plus they'll sign a free agent. They do have some cap space, so you know.
Yeah, maybe because it's not easy to play with Kobe too. Remember that, especially if you're not used to it. So to me, in a realistic best case scenario, they win 40 to 45 games, maybe 50 games. They go seventh or eighth seed, and that's what I'm saying. Unless the Lakers suddenly shoot up in the East, they win, you know, at best they're the seventh or eighth seed. They lose in that first round. Maybe they squeak a game or two out. Is that how you want to see Kobe go out?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what I mean? He doesn't have any more milestones. He passed Jordan. So I don't know that in terms of those major milestones, like the scoring list, he's not going to catch Karl Malone. So what more is there for Kobe to do? The only thing that I can appreciate, and I don't know if he wants to do this because it depends on your ego, kind of the Derek Jeter, Mariano, the farewell
the goodbye tour
the cities will give him. Remember, we saw Dr. J in his farewell tour at Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
And they pulled out all the doctors. Remember? Dr. Ruth Bruckheimer and Dr. So that could be interesting. That would be annoying because, you know, at halftime in every new city, they're going to do something for you. But Kobe's great. And I wouldn't be mad if he went out this way. I don't know that he wants to go out this way, though.
Right. So sticking with the NBA real quick, we got to sort of break down this. I believe both the games were canceled. Kings at Knicks. And Blazers at Brooklyn, is that correct, for the snowstorm? The NBA came off of them?
The New York City is about to get hit. I mean, Boston, too, the whole East Coast. But they said that there are no non-essential vehicles allowed on the street after 11 p.m. So if you were trying to take a taxi or if you were trying to go somewhere or if you're even trying to get a delivery, they said you can't even have delivery bikes, like bicycles, on the road after 11.
Well, look, it's smart and it's for the safety. So I'm sure the Knicks and Kings and Blazers and Nets can make up the game another night. You know, remember, the commissioner extended that All-Star break where a lot of teams have anywhere from 8 to 12 days off. So they could easily play those games on the open day, on one of the open days of the All-Star break, and have those teams come back a little bit earlier, which is what I imagine the NBA will do, which would be pretty smart. So continue to bounce off the field. Ray, they're going after the bonus money of A-Rod. What do you think with the Yankees, spring training, how this all – it's going to be such a weird circus, right? We end so nicely with Jeter. The Yankees offseason has been, you know, gotten a couple of moves, some nice pitchers, the pitcher from the Marlins. But then this whole A-Rod stuff, I don't know. What are your thoughts? You know, for me, I didn't think he'd ever make it back to the Yankees, but maybe he will, and maybe we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts on this is. It's just messy.
Look, it's really messy, and it's really dirty, but I tell you, I got to side with the Yankees on this one. They went into that agreement, and it's funny because the Yankees broke all their rules for A-Rod to sign him the second time, which is crazy. They signed him to that 10-year contract, and the Yankees don't usually give bonuses for making the All-Star team and for doing this, but they gave him all the bonuses that he wanted. Scott Boras negotiated, you know, a great deal. He actually dropped Scott Boras. I guess he kept them in there from his original contract that he must have negotiated with Texas. But he shouldn't get $6 million. You have to pay him his salary. That's bad enough, but he should get $6 million for passing Willie Mays. And the Yankees were going to pay that money because they were going to market it and they were going to benefit themselves. So they figured, you know what, the increased TV viewership, the increased concessions, and we're going to sell
right.
out
they
all those games.
Plans. They had big plans.
Right, but no, absolutely. I'm with the Yankees on this one. You have to pay a salary. That's okay. That's, you know, binding arbitration, whatever. But no, I believe they're 100% right in going after this money for the bonuses.
So a couple other things. This one thing kind of warmed my heart. I see our guy, Charles Woodson, is coming back for one final season with the Raiders. And, you know, I got to say, Ray, it's weird, but obviously from Oakland to Green Bay, and he finally got his ring, obviously started in Michigan and then back at Oakland. Somehow, I guess with Deion Sanders, Charles Woodson, Ty Law, but I feel like Charles Woodson, he's been very productive at safety. I feel like he's underrated. Do you get that sense? Like, I think
it's funny because he won Defensive Player of the Year. Remember, it was him and Darrell Revis.
Yeah.
And he is I agree with you. He's still underrated. If you think of the best secondary
He's got to be on
the
top
all
of the
time. But you and I would say so, but if you ask most fans, they probably wouldn't give him that love. They probably wouldn't put him even in the top 10.
Oof, yeah, that's a hard one because I know people like Deion Sanders and, you know, other players who've played against Charles Woodson, they just have the utmost respect for him. I think, you know, obviously we're in the era of point guards in the NBA. Well, I think in NFL, we're in the era with so much offense, we're in the era of some great corners. And obviously, we've seen a bunch with Woodson, Deion, Ty Law, and then now you got the whole, you know, Sherman, Revis, Hayden, Patrick Peterson. So I think it's a great era for corners, and this guy should get his respect. One other real quick note in NFL, it looks like the Rams, Ray, are interested in trading for your boy, Nick Foles, which plays into what I was talking about in terms of my man. I'm telling you, remember, and we didn't talk.
But
we talked about
first of all.
Show. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, first of all, why would you trade Nick Foles if you're Philly? I mean, he did fantastic stuff in
the second season, though. You see, I think before he got hurt, he wasn't playing great. He was playing well.
He wasn't playing great. He was playing well, and they were winning games. So,
right,
first of all, and second of all, the price to get, if you believe that Mariota is going to go one or two, which I don't, I actually think they're going to find some flaws before the combine. But let's say he goes one or two. The price to jump up to one or two, we saw with RG3 what that price was. And if he doesn't hit, that sets your franchise back. And why would you do that if you got a guy in Nick Foles who is good enough to run that system, and a guy who's probably his ego is big enough to think just like Shanahan did in Denver, he could just hand the ball to any running back in that zone blocking scheme and he could get 1,000 yards. So probably Chip Kelly thinks I could have any quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, Chip Kelly is an utter love. He's told scouts and people that Mariota is like a genius. The way he processes is so fast and learns. And he's the perfect athlete to run his system. And I'm telling you, remember this. And it happened, you know, one of those little off quiet weeks between the playoff and the wild card week and divisional week. the Eagles gave Chip Kelly the keys to the car and the groceries. He is the HNIC, and he's running things. He will be making the decisions, and I'm telling you, bank it. You know, just like I picked this Super Bowl, I'm telling you in my heart of hearts, I know he's going to get his guy. And whether it's trading with the Titans or maybe, you know, only way he might not is if, you know, Tampa, unless they offer Tampa enough. But, you know, I really believe he's going to find a way, whether it's throwing out Foles or, you know, hey, maybe he trades Connor Barwin or whatever he's got to do. Darren Sproles, you know, future first round pick. He's going to try to get Mariota. It's just, it'll be fascinating to see how it all plays out.
The price might be too high, though.
Yeah. So before we get to college hoops and the NBA, you know, we got to talk some football. But one last note off the field or, you know, whatever. Australian Open, Ray. This is interesting to me because it looks like, first of all, the Joker won, right? He did his thing. But it's going to be fascinating to see with the men, you know, who winds up colliding in the semis. You know, I guess what they're getting to almost the quarters now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and seeing, you know, what happens. And then with the women, you got Serena and Venus both advancing. And I wanted to ask you, obviously, we've seen Serena with all the majors and her place. And this season, she gets a couple more majors. Well, you know, I wonder if she will cement herself as just without question being number one. Now, McEnroe's already said she is, this and that. But where's Venus at? How do you see Venus in history? She went in 18th, and now she's, you know, making it to the quarters, which is pretty good. She beat
given all of her health issues.
Yeah.
Venus is a very good, you know, she's not an elite tennis player of all time, right? She's not in that Martina Navratilova class, Steffi Graf class. Serena probably lead that class, but she's probably the next level, you know, and you got to think
top
injuries.
15, top 20, probably.
Yeah, and you got to figure injuries and her sister.
Well, yeah,
causing her, you know, to not be in that elite group. But
that's cool.
But no slouch, she had a great career. She's having a great career. It's so funny that these women and men too max out so early in tennis. It's like your prime is 18 to 22. And then if you're late 20s and God forbid if you're in your 30s, you're way past your prime in tennis.
No, it is fascinating. It definitely is fascinating. You know, it's hard to believe. I'd like to see an upset on the men's side. Obviously, we talked about it last episode, still wanting an American man to step up. But as great as the Joker is, and he's probably going to win it, you know, and, you know, no Federer, and we'll see what happens with, you know, the rest of the guys. But, you know, it'll be, you know, obviously it's the first of the majors, so we'll see how it all plays out. So let's talk about what happened on Saturday and Sunday. Let's look at college hoops, Ray. I guess if we start with Sunday and then let's look at the top 25. But, you know, Coach K, I think the way that he got his 1,000th victory was kind of wax poetic. It was beautiful. You know, like St. John's playing the game of, and remember, he broke Bobby Knight's record, 903 at the Garden. So, you know, it was just like, it was perfect. They had all the hats and the jerseys and T-shirts ready. You know, St. John's played the hearts out.
They always do. Tough matchup for Duke.
You felt like they had it, right? And then Duke went on that like 11-2 run and just was balling. And then it was really playing Okafor and Marshall together, and Marshall Plumlee, the third of the Plumlee. We're talking about the NBA brothers, who, you know, was really brought the momentum and the energy. And then, really the two freshmen. I mean, Okafor wasn't much in the first half, but in the second half, him and Tyus Jones, it was just too much talent. And they sit today number 4 in the nation at 17-2. Obviously, Ray, no change for Kentucky and Virginia. Gonzaga's three. Those two teams stayed undefeated. Virginia, remember I said Virginia Tech, watch them, and they played great. And then Wisconsin, they're number five. Michigan played great, almost upset them. Arizona, six. Villanova, seven. Notre Dame, eight. You got Kansas, nine. Louisville, 10. What are your thoughts on the top 10? And any of these guys you think still have an opportunity to, you know, beat Kentucky and maybe cut down the nets?
Yeah, again, I think Kentucky has a problem scoring, and they're inconsistent. They're great on defense. They're inconsistent. I think the issue is, you know, shooting. Shooting threes, shooting long contested twos. So Kentucky is beatable. I don't know who will beat them, but I think they will lose once. They may win it all, but I think they will lose once before it's all said and done. You know, this weekend was interesting. You saw some teams. You saw a Duke team that showed resiliency and played from behind and caught up. You say to yourself, okay, well, if Wisconsin is healthy, but what does losing Jackson mean for them? So they're in a little bit of a quandary there. Virginia played well, but then again, they don't score sometimes, and they ended up winning 50-47. I mean, a Virginia Tech team that they should have blown out, hung with them for a while. Louisville's disappointing because Montrezl Harrell was, you know, gangbusters for the first month of the season, and now he's not playing very well. And in fact, did you hear this? He told the team and told the coach that if they want to take the captainship away from him, he'd be okay with that.
He's not captain. I thought he was already taken away.
Yeah. So that doesn't really bode well for being a dominant player and a dominant team. So, you know, it feels like all these teams in the top 10 have these little issues, including Kentucky, right? So nobody's really kind of emerging as the number, the undisputed number two to Kentucky. I guess that's Virginia because they haven't lost yet.
You got Duke playing against Virginia and Notre Dame. So
that's
going to be some great battle. I want to ask you about this, though, in the Big 12. How about the upset from Texas Tech taking down Iowa State? That was big.
Yeah, it wasn't the upset that I predicted. I predicted us in the Big 12. I predicted Michigan to beat.
Yeah, we both went with Michigan. Yeah, that was close, though. Michigan, listen, they surely I think football and basketball, both programs are in good hands. Great coaches, great leaders, and I think Michigan athletics will be fine. I'm really interested in seeing. You know, it's so funny. You look at the bottom of the top 25, and you know, it brings a smile to your face to see the Georgetown Hoyas, Ray, ranked again at 21, and they're 14-5, and you know, they. Not a great powerhouse team, but still there's some tradition there that, you know, that they play ball. They're scrappy.
All those old Big East teams, the Catholic teams, are in and out of the top 25 now, right? Seton Hall was in and out. St. John's was in, and then, you know, they might be on their way out. Who knows how consistently they'll play for the rest of the season. But, yeah, so Seton
Hall,
yeah,
right,
St. John's, Georgetown, Providence. Yeah, I love when these teams do well. You know, we don't want to beat a dead horse, but, you know, I still have issues with this whole thing and how college football, which we both love, just blew up the whole college basketball scene, and college basketball will never be the same because of college football.
It's bothersome. And you know what's fascinating this year that people haven't noticed? You know, the SEC is really, I mean, you know, Tennessee, Arkansas, maybe Georgia, but the Florida Gators, Ray, kind of shockingly, they've played really poorly, and you would think, and we said in the beginning of the season, and maybe Kentucky going to Florida would be a tough game. And right now, Billy Donovan's got to be scratching his head with the way that the Gators have been playing. They're horrible this year, really struggling.
Yeah, and, you know, he's an interesting coach in that he's very up and down. I mean, for 3 or 4 years, it's Scotty Wilbekin and Patrick Young and those crew, they had a they were an Elite Eight team. I thought they should be going to the Final Four, but they were definitely an Elite Eight team. And then he has these lulls like he had before this past three-year run. So you either love him and he gets the most out of you, or he has issues every cycle. It seems like every 4 or 5 years, Billy Donovan has some issues with that Florida team. But he's still an unbelievable elite coach, and that's still an elite program. But it is interesting to see. That's why we'll talk about Krzyzewski, because you know he's next up on our agenda. But that's why he's that much more amazing. You know how he had one bad year, I think, in the last, 40? You know, even when he was at Army and Duke had that one year with Grant Hill was a junior and got hurt. But other than that, you know, that's amazing. You haven't got one bad year on your hands.
1975 to present day. He started November 28th, Ray. You know, you can't help but applaud him, his wife, his family, the daughters. You know, guys were emotional because this guy is great. Hey, just remember, last year in Vegas for the Summer League, my favorite time of the year, LeBron, he stopped to talk to Coach K to get his advice on what he should do and what his thoughts were. The NBA excellent players that have, you know, played under him for the Olympics and World Cup, they love him. Love him. So that's all you need to hear. Kobe loves him.
So what's your most memorable moment for Krzyzewski? I mean, what's your Krzyzewski or your top couple of Krzyzewski moments?
Well, I think being a Tar Heel fan, I think the thing that I remember most is, one, how difficult it was going to Duke and him establishing that relationship with Duke, recruiting and the Cameron Crazies, and just the rivalry and facing, you know, and going up head to head with Dean Smith, you know, and no knock on Roy Williams, but you know, you and I, we're all about the Deaner. Dean Smith is my favorite college basketball coach of all time. And Coach K is someone that you had to respect. And I seen him in action up close when I was at Maryland as a student. When Duke came to Maryland, he's so intense and passionate, but you feel, I think the best thing you could say about him is that his players are so loyal to him, and so many of them he's given coaching opportunities, from Wojciechowski to,
Quinn Snyder, Tommy Amaker, Johnny Dawkins.
To me, those are the things that I remember and respect the most. But like I said the other day, I was really impressed with what he, you know, he's got knocked around and upset a couple of times. But even when he had to have the surgery, remember, he was like, he felt so bad for his team, like he was letting them down. And that's just, I don't know, to me, he's just, he's a great coach, and I have to respect him. Cannot stand Duke, but Coach K, man, I salute you. You know, I forgot the two other gentlemen's names, but I think he's going to catch them too. Obviously, NAIA, the head guy there, has got 1,013, and then in Division III at McKierney or some state, the head guy's got 1,085. And I believe when it's all said and done, he will pass both gentlemen, and Coach K will have, in all of college hoops, the most victories. Because he's not going to quit. He's not stopping for a couple years. So.
No, he's got a few good years in him, and he can still recruit. Look, he brought Jahlil Okafor, and he's got all of his McDonald's
All-Americans.
Well, he just got
the 20 kids from Ohio. He got this kid that scored like 55 the other night from Ohio. He's going to Duke.
You know, and my lasting memory of Mike Krzyzewski, even beyond the four national championships, and even beyond my favorite player, my favorite team, you know, from Duke was Johnny Dawkins and that team that lost to Purvis Ellison in 1986. But I think overall the memory that I have that sticks in my mind is how, it's not one single memory, but it's how he adopted and adapted to the different times, right? In the beginning, it was about graduating kids, and that's, you know, what all a coach can do, right? Help them grow as men, teach them a little bit about basketball, and hopefully they can graduate and go be productive people, you know, whether they're in the NBA or not. And then the one and done came, and he adapted to that. And
he has very well.
Yep, and the 3-point, but he was late to the game though. Remember, because he was late to get those one and done.
Jay Williams was like one of his first ones, right?
Well, Jay Williams stayed. It was like Corey Maggette and
group, yeah.
Yeah, those guys in the late 90s, early 2000s. He started to really, feel the Elton Brand left as a sophomore, and adopting the 3-point shot. And really, and I kept saying it before he won his last couple national championships, right? Because he won in what, 90, with the Fab Five. He won in 94. When they beat the Fab Five and they beat, who did they beat in those
back UNLV.
Years? They beat UNLV in the semis, though. They beat
Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas and then Duke. Kansas and then Michigan, sorry. So they won those two. And then I kept saying for about a decade, he's not adapting to the 3-point line. And then he loved the 3-pointer so much. I said, well, he can't win a national championship like that.
Right. They were too much shooting.
Exactly. I was like, he can't win six games shooting these threes. But look at those teams that he had that won national championships. I mean, the team in 01 was pretty awesome. But this past team, that beat Butler, they were okay.
Most impressive championship for me was that one. That team was not that great. We both have spoken about that, you can talk all day about him. Great, just great. He was just great. So let me ask you this. We got to do a little bit of this Super Bowl before we get to the NBA. And obviously, we got to mention the Pro Bowl. Ray, Team Irvin comes back to win 28 over Team Carter. Seems like J.J. Watt was the only man out there, donating blood and giving it all. Nick Mangold said he had some blood, so he played hard enough, he said. The Pro Bowl, it is what it is. It's hard to watch. The ratings, 5.5, and this is for cable, ESPN, which is a good rating nowadays for anything. It beat the National League Divisional Series and
that's crazy.
Beat a couple of NBA playoff games. That is ridiculous, Ray. I mean, how popular. Now, listen, the fans were hyped up, all the players out here, and they did a great job with, the kids and just signing and this and that or whatever. So you got to salute the players in that. And then, obviously, we got to talk about Josh Gordon.
What's wrong with your boy?
I'm gonna break it down. What's wrong with him is what's wrong, I think, with our society. We're not doing tough love anymore, and we're it's not just nothing's wrong with giving somebody a second and third chance, right? Now he's had about 8 or 9, but I think the problem is sometimes you have to give the second or third chance after you've cut them off. Do you understand? And force them to change. And Chris, I give Chris Carter a lot of credit. He said it on Mike and Mike, and he said it on Countdown, and he was right. The Browns have to release him, cut him. He's got to sort of hit that rock bottom and, lose it. And then he'll be forced to really change himself, get the help, because he just needs help. Now, look, nothing's wrong with drinking alcohol. But when you're in stage 3 and you've agreed to these whatever the rules or laws are of it at stage 3, and you've been found issues with marijuana and this and that 8 or 9 times at stage 3, part of it is you cannot you can't test positive for alcohol, and he did. So anybody, we all know having a beer is not illegal, but when you're at this point, you start to lose some of your freedoms, and then yes, it's a problem. So that means there's no comprehension of risk reward, or just being so flagrantly disrespectful with whatever, and the young man needs help. So what I want is that, and I'm sure the NFL will take care of it and all that, with really putting him in some rehab, step away. The Browns should release him. It shouldn't just be suspended for a year. And I know it's a great talent, and maybe they can even sign him back. Who knows? But, Ray, it's, because everybody says, even Nate Burleson said on NFL Network, he's a good kid. You know, and just because people, you know, look at Robert Downey Jr., you know, in acting, you know, everybody loves him. He's a good guy. He was just self-abusive. So he needs help. That's all. He needs help. It's
yeah,
sad.
He does. And, you know, he's young enough and he's talented enough where he might just get another chance unless Roger Goodell, you know, lowers the hammer on him. But I don't think he's going to get a lifetime suspension. He might get a year.
No, just a year, probably.
This will probably be his last chance, though, because you know he can't screw up again. But again, those college and those pro, well, mainly pro football coaches, they just love to think that they're going to be the guy to turn him around, and they'll put the bear hug on him and set him straight. So hopefully, he does find a coach in a year's time that does that, because you hate to see a guy that talented just not reach his full potential. And he, you know, he's had, what, a good 10, 12, 15 games, but you want to see this over five seasons, you know, seven seasons. And Josh Gordon still has a lot of football left in him.
Yeah. I tell you. So let me ask you this. Give me, separate from the big names from this game, give me two players that are sort of, you know, they could be whatever, but they're not, you know, they're not, it's not, you know, Brady and Wilson and Gronk and Beast Mode. Give me two players on each side that could surprise people and make a difference Super Bowl Sunday. So one from each team, two guys,
right.
A little lower.
So,
on the belt.
So everybody knows about the big, you know, kids in Seattle and everybody that's getting all the love. So the secondary for Seattle, the front seven, right? But I tell you who I want to talk about, the missing man. I want to talk about the fourth member of that secondary who's going to see a lot of love, or I shouldn't say a lot of love, who's going to see a lot of football, because he's going to have to take the guy that Richard Sherman isn't taking, right? So I want to see how your boy Byron Maxwell plays in the spotlight, because I do believe that they're going to go after him. And these guys, Edelman, and these smaller receivers are going to be, you know, they present difficulties. And then if they run a pick play and they try to, you know, they stay in their man coverage or even in a zone, then he might have to find himself facing a Gronkowski or facing a Tim Wright. So I want to see how Byron Maxwell shows up. And I have a suspicion that he might just pick one off, because I don't know how much they're going to really test Richard Sherman. So Byron Maxwell is my guy I'm looking forward to watching on Seattle. On New England, I have a sneaky suspicion that Bill Belichick is going to get more out of his running backs this game than he has in the past. So I'm going to say the running back combination of Vereen, LeGarrette Blount, and even your boy Gray might somehow get some burn. And everybody's going to be focusing on Gronkowski and maybe even Edelman and a little bit of Amendola. But I want to see that, and that's not one person, right? But it's the running back position. It's the New England running backs. So I want to see how well they do and if they've got something for Pete Carroll and that defense and Dan Quinn, the soon-to-be head coach, you know, in waiting.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to tell you that for Seattle, to me, this guy sort of has come out of nowhere, and I think he's going to be someone that is a security blanket for an athletic Russell Wilson, and it's Luke Wilson, the tight end. I see that this guy's got athletic ability. He seems to be, you know, unsung in terms of the sense that no one really knew who this kid was. You know, before the end of the season and, you know, how he's played a little bit in the playoffs. But I think with Revis and Browner and how they're aggressive and going to be up on these receivers. I don't know. You know, there might be opportunities to get cursed deep, but, you know, but I don't know how much damage Baldwin, Lockett, you know, and Kearse will be able to do. And I think Lynch out of the backfield, but specifically Luke Wilson, is going to have a five catch, 50 to 60 yards, maybe a touchdown type of game. So I'm looking for Seattle to get to the tight end Luke Wilson. For the Patriots?
Okay.
Yeah, I really do. For the Patriots, man, I think the guy is someone that I had on my fantasy football team for a little while on ESPN when we did our league, both sides of the ball. And that guy is Jamie Collins, the linebacker. For the Patriots, I think he is going to be a major part in helping Wolfark and the linemen to stop Marshawn Lynch to really get hit. You know, they're going to have to hit this guy because he's going to get 20 carries. But I think Collins is going to be the one that's going to be there to help them when Russell Wilson is doing the read options and the bootlegs. Because the key is going to be how are they going to play this read option. And when Russell's kind of doing this, I think you're going to have to see, you know, what linebacker is going to be able to sort of watch him when he's scrambling. If they do blitz five or, you know, if they, you know, because I don't think they're going to just come with four. I think they're going to have to bring that fifth or sixth man sometimes. And Collins is going to be that guy that's kind of spying and watching him. So for me, that's what's going to be fascinating. Because I don't know, to be honest, and this might be kind of fascinating, and we'll obviously get into it on our preview where we really break down the game. I don't know if either team can stop Blunt or Lynch from running. I think both teams can run the ball in this Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
So you
think
that's almost a draw. So the game's going to be won or lost in the passing game.
Passing game, special teams, and you know, stuff like that. I'm not saying it's a draw because I think Lynch is a little bit more superior, and I do think Seattle overall's got a better front seven. So I think, you know, but I saw what the Cowboys did. You can run if you can really fit, if you're really physical and pounded, you can run in Seattle. And I know you can really, if you really are physical, you can bring it and run on the Patriots. You know, which is why I wanted my healthy Steelers to have a shot at them. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But that's just sort of my thought with those two things. I'm chomping at the bit. This might be what we hoped we were going to get last year, Ray. I think we're really looking at a 1-4 point game. I think it's going to be a classic. I really do. The Deflategate won't even matter. It's going to be, you know, for a real football fan, you know, for not the people who like the party and the commercials, but for like guys like you and me and like the real football fans, you're going to sit there and wish that you had a jersey and pads and you were out there just knocking the snot out of somebody playing in this game. Because this game has got some thumpers and it's got some, you know, come on.
Are you taking out your frustration?
I'm not frustration.
You're too
I'm
old for that, man. You're too old
this
to be knocking the snot out of
exciting.
Anybody.
I'm hyped up, and I'm excited for some football. You know how much we love the Super Bowl. This is going to be what and honestly, look, last year you had both number ones, right? This year you got both number ones. But these are the two best teams, right? This is good. Listen, this defense the Patriots have, it's better than what Broncos brought last year. It's night and day. This is a real defense.
Well, exactly. No, that's a good point. And also, it's fair to say that Seattle's not going to sneak up on anybody like they did the Broncos, where they punched him in the mouth and the Broncos couldn't recover. And both of these teams have plenty of playoff and Super Bowl experience. The obviously Seattle's the defending champ, and New England lost in all, what is it, 2011 to the Giants. So this being in the Super Bowl jitters, I mean, of course you're going to have jitters, but ultimately they're equal in every respect, right? They've won recently. They have, you know, coaches that have experience. They have quarterbacks that have experience. They have, you know, well-rounded team. So this does, you know, to me, I don't know what Vegas is saying because the lines keep moving, but this to me is a pick. I mean, it's like, don't even worry about the spread. Who's going to win the game? You know, because usually in the Super Bowl, you're like, well, are they going to win? Can they win by a touchdown? Can they win by a field goal? Who cares? This is all about, you know what, forget about the spread. Who's going to win the game? Who's the better team? And I will be watching, and if people want to ask me questions during the game, I'll be like, look, I need to have, like, a new symbol. Maybe I'll write something on my hand, like, don't talk to me until 10:30. Because you know how you're at the party and people, like, ask you things. I'm like, no, shh. Don't talk to me.
Yeah. It's kind of hard. It definitely is. I threw a big Super Bowl party a couple years ago, and I don't think I'm going to have another one until maybe next year. In a year or two, I'll throw another one. But this one right here.
Did it take you that long to recover?
No. It's just, you know, life and the kids, you know. But I also realized after watching it, you know, with, you know, I mean, so many people in your house, I was just like, you know what? I didn't get to enjoy the Giants upsetting the Patriots. You know what I mean? And I watched it, but I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's one of those things. So let's quickly do some NBA and then end with our segment. I'm sorry. One thing I wanted to talk to you about, a couple notes, right? So there's a trade rumor, and this is going to throw in a little bit to my I'm sorry. The Nets and Jordan are, you know, Hornets and Nets are talking about Joe Johnson for Lance Stephenson. So we'll see if that goes down. And who knows if they still might ship Brook Lopez. Then there was some talk about Kobe considered, you know, Jordan with the Wizards. I don't know what that's all about. You know, so I don't know if it was, you know, back then or just in general, like he wants to play for the Wizards. But I want to ask you this. Does your boy Cuban, if he pulls off getting Jermaine O'Neal to come in and play backup center behind Chandler around the All-Star break, and Jermaine was, you know, very productive last season for the playoffs. Now that's somebody that I'd like to see go to the Cavaliers or the Blazers, right? How good would that be for the Mavericks to get that veteran that it can give you, you know, Chandler does get in foul trouble, give you that 10 to 12 minutes in a series, a game five or a game six when you know, you don't know what you might need. What are your thoughts about that and just the Mavericks and in general the Western Conference?
It's so funny how Jermaine O'Neal has turned into Jermaine Dupri. Well, he'd be in on to be a lot shorter. But it's so funny how he's become this coveted, you know, guy that you want to collaborate with. And I guess when you're a big man, you want to rest that body and put it on, you know, put it in third gear in February, fourth gear in March, and then only fifth gear only in April. But they do need some size, so that's a good little pickup. And, you know, and Dallas is one of those teams where you can flirt with a free agent and say, look, we did it before. We had Jason Kidd. That's the only real difference. But other than that, we had the same, you know, Dirk, of course.
Yeah.
Now we have Monte Ellis instead. And we had Tyson Chandler, so come join us, you know, come join us and make a push and try to win a championship. Because the teams that we all thought were going to be at the top, San Antonio's had a lot of injuries. The Clippers are underachieving a little bit. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge got hurt, so now Portland's a little banged up. Houston was in the pole position, but they've fallen back a little bit. Golden State, you feel like, even though their record is great, they don't really scare you. I mean, they scare you, but they don't. Oh, by the way, we tweeted about this. We didn't really talk about this, but did you see Klay Thompson had 37 points, the most points in a quarter ever?
But not just that, he had the perfect line with the what was the threes, the field goals, yeah, and the free throws. That was amazing. Yeah. This and listen, wait. The funny thing is about that is that you were questioning and trying to tell me, oh, I don't know if Klay Thompson's an all star. I'm like, are you bugging? Harden will start. Klay Thompson is the sixth man in the West, and he is easily the second or third best shooting guard in the NBA right now. And I think maybe he could fight Harden for number one, because between the two of them and Dwayne Wade, which we got to talk about, because on Sunday, Dwayne Wade showed, look, do you know Dwayne Wade is, I think he's number one for points in the fourth quarter this season? That's a D Wade is, yeah. I'm sorry. I need to say I'm sorry to D Wade, but anyway, yeah, that's amazing. The Warriors are still amazing. You know, five in a row. But Ray, we gotta, because we haven't done it enough. And give LaMarcus Aldridge credit, right, with the thumb. He played. I don't know if he's going to continue to play, but he played and won for the Blazers the other night. After that Boston loss, he played and got busy for them the other night when they won. So maybe LaMarcus will play through the injury. But how about the Atlanta Hawks? Again, first of all, Friday night.
We don't have enough accolades in our repertoire. We need to go find an English major, or we need to find Merriam-Webster so we can get a Roger. You remember Roger's thesaurus? We need to find somebody that can give us new words to describe the Atlanta Hawks. I mean,
37-8? Are you kidding me? And OKC, you thought OKC, you know, would come into town and you know, after their big win the night before that, go to Atlanta and be like, hey, well, now OKC, they lose to Atlanta and then they lose to the Cavs. And I tell you, man, they keep messing around. They're not going to catch Phoenix, because Phoenix is still scrapping, you know, and the Knicks have been, you know, doing their thing.
It's the best thing for them. Could you imagine if they were able to sneak in some ping pong balls and get into the front end of the lottery?
Listen, I don't even want to talk about that. That would just be mind-boggling. I will say this. The Cavaliers, those trades and those moves, they were good. And Shumpert, JR, and Mozgov have found a home playing with the King. They're starting to get Kevin Love going, and Kyrie is still going to be Kyrie. The Cavaliers, Ray, they're heating up. And LeBron, that's the question that I was kind of throwing out there. Is LeBron still the best in the NBA? Because what I saw Harden do to Phoenix, and Phoenix came storming back, but Harden at the buzzer hit that walk-off shot, and they won. James Harden is a bad man, Ray. And he did it without Howard. Howard played like 5 minutes, hurt his ankle. And James Harden and the Rockets played better without Howard. And everyone knew that he was going to hit the game winner, and he went ahead and beat Phoenix. I think it was 113-111. I think Harden is catching up to LeBron and Durant. I really do. I'm not saying he's better than Durant or LeBron, but James Harden he's in the top five in the NBA if he's not number three.
And what's crazy is that he was on that team with them, you know? I don't think they ever could have kept them together, but Harden, Westbrook, and Kevin Durant were all teammates and went to the finals even before they got, you know, I guess they won that first game and then they lost in five to Miami.
They were just too young. They weren't ready yet. But that talent it's almost, I feel like we've sort of slept on Harden. And we even said it a little bit last year, but now he's even gone another level, because he's a great passer too. The guy is just, and he's an offensive weapon. He's unstoppable.
And he's so big. People forget this guy is not like 6 feet, 6'1". I mean, this guy is big.
He's a legit 6'7".
Yeah, and he can rebound, and he can dribble, and he can create his own shot. But let's get to it. Let's talk about our.
I'm sorry. I'm letting you go first.
Back to.
You go first. What you sorry for? What you sorry about, Ray?
You know what I'm sorry about. I'm sorry that the best game in the NFL, the best game, you know, in sports going right now is the NFL, and their end of season display right before the Super Bowl called the Pro Bowl is just a travesty. I'm sorry. I apologize to all you real football fans out there. The sad part is that it actually gets viewers. So from a TV perspective, like you said, a 5.5 rating, that's nothing to sneeze at on a Sunday night at 6 o'clock when it's
going up against the SAG Awards. My SAG Awards were on.
Yeah, they got sagged up. So I'm sorry to real football fans who want to watch some real football, because this is a joke. But I'm a solutions-oriented cat. And I got to give Faye's wife, Alana, some credit. She said, look, if this is going to be a joke, then let's go all the way. Let's make this a joke. And she said, since these cats are not tackling anyway, so let's just make it a game of flag football. Let's change the rules up a little bit, and let's just have fun with it. Let's just joke around and be, you know, one with all the other people that play flag football. Because, I don't know, to me, I love watching the players, but this is not football. It bothers me. I don't know whether to be frustrated or whether to just soak it all in, because I know the last football game of the season is in less than a week. So it's frustrating to me, but folks, this is not football. The Pro Bowl is not real football, and it hurts me. It hurts my heart. So I'm sorry to all you real football fans that the NFL is marketing the Pro Bowl as real football.
That's very true, very real, and I got to give Wifey credit because I think she might be right. So shout out to Alana. Ray, I'm going back to the NBA. Spoke about it earlier. I'm sorry about the whole Brooklyn Nets situation. And I'm talking about the teams, the owner, whether they're going to sell, the players, all the money they spent. You've got a great player in Kevin Garnett who I think should have retired. And I'm sorry to see him playing. And he's averaging 7-7. And yeah, it's not horrible, but you know what? You don't want to see it. I think he was a great Warrior, and it's hard to see. And it's hard to see Darren Williams, who, you know, was in the conversation.
At one point,
being
was a top three point guard.
Just 4 years ago, Ray. And now he's averaging 13-6. He's lost his starting spot to Jarrett Jack, who's playing pretty well, you know, averaging 11 points. Look, the Nets have got five guys in double figures, but this team right now has been surpassed by the Charlotte Hornets for being in the playoffs. Their record is 18-26, you know, which is still second in their division, but it's hard to watch. And to have basketball return to Brooklyn, I think at this point their best player still is Joe Johnson, and if they're going to move him and Brooke Lopez and kind of rebuild, then go ahead and do it. And I'm sorry, I guess for the Brooklyn fans, maybe you bring the Brooklyn kid home. Maybe you trade Joe Johnson, who's older and got a bigger contract than Lance. One thing I'll say about Lance, if you do get him, he might be a knucklehead, but his contract's not that bad. And maybe it's time to let go of Brooke.
Can he spread love?
The Brooklyn way? I think he can, man. And I think at least it would hype up the fans. You know Brooklyn. They like to see their own. And I think the Nets should trade Joe to Jordan and the Hornets, because the Hornets are trying to do things, and Joe Johnson could help them. Perfect to play there.
Can I just say something, though?
I'm sorry.
Lance has been struggling.
Yes.
But what happens when you bring a kid home? You know, that could go either way. What happened when Jamal Marbury came home, you know?
Yeah, I know. Listen, and you know my theory, as much as I love Brooklyn and, you know, we're Manhattan kids, Upper West Side all day, the 90s cab, but I will say this, I still think Brooklyn basketball players are knuckleheads, especially point guards. And Lance, even though he's a two-guard, he falls right into that. But he needs to go home, and he's not having a great year. It's not working with Jordan and Charlotte and Patrick Ewing and Coach Clifford and whatever. So maybe that would help the Nets. And honestly, they're not going anywhere with this team and this roster, and they're not making a playoff. So I'm sorry, Brooklyn fans, Ricky Rivers, everybody out there. I'm sorry, Brooklyn Nets. And you know what? Go bring Lance. So that's it. Our segment, our show, Friday. Listen, Ray and Tay are coming strong. We're working on trying to get some guests, but you know what? We'll have your predictions, your calls, your emails. We'll have to go through and read some of the picks because they're coming in. We promise we'll get them on air. Super Bowl preview, January 30th, 6 p.m. Eastern. Ray might be shoveling snow, and Tay will be bringing you sunshine. Thursday, it will be 80 degrees out here. Friday, about 79, so I'll bring that for you. And thanks for listening. A great show. Let's watch some hoops, some good college basketball. Some of the NBA games are canceled for the local fans in the East Coast. But should be a good sports week. And, you know, it's fun talking sports with friends, right?
Yeah, I had a great time. And for all you cats on the East Coast, stay safe, stay warm. And seriously, don't go outside unless you really
want to.
Don't go outside. There's about 2 to 3 feet of snow, emergency vehicles only. Just chill. Just turn on TV. Listen to old episodes of Ray and Tay Today. Go to blogtalkradio.com/RayandTayToday. You can go to our website, RayandTayToday.com, and check us out. We'll see you on Friday talking to Super Bowl 49.
Listen to some of the baseball stuff. And to get you ready for baseball season, warm your hearts, Bob Brenly, Paula Duca. So, you know, we got some great interviews. So check it out. Peace.
We're out.